Hi, this is Bill Wills.
And I'm Mike Snyder.
Thanks for checking out Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. We're around daily, 5 to 9. News, sports, traffic and weather on the 10s. Mike, a lot going on, right?
Yeah, there always is. And we've got the latest in sports. Of course, what's going on with the Tribe, what may be happening with the Cavs and the Browns. And then, of course, we have the news and we get you around town with traffic on the 10s.
Be sure to follow us here on the podcast and get the episode each and every day. And join us if you can on Twitter. I'm Bill Wills at WTAM 1100.
And I'm at Snyder 1100.
Today's Wills and Snyder in Cleveland's Morning News.
Glad to have you with us.
On your money, WTAM.com. Keyword, money, filling up this morning, $3.13, price to beat for a gallon of gas. Hey, start the week thinking about your mortgage. I know you're busy, got a bunch of stuff going on. But just in that little money update, you heard about concern in the stock market and different things. They're also thinking mortgage rates are going up. So if you have been thinking at all about refinancing, lock in, do it now. Get some cash out of the equity in your home, too. Clean up some other debt you've got. Renovate your home, maybe, and let the home pay for itself. Refinance with Union Home Mortgage. Bill Wills for Union Home Mortgage, proud to be your hometown lender. Working hard every day to ensure you experience the joys of owning a home and refinancing. It's so easy. Go to UHM.com/cash right now. UHM.com/cash. Pittsburgh got in, right?
Oh, yeah. Thanks to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. And then how about the game in the evening? They go to overtime. If there's a tie, Steelers are not
absolutely
in.
Absolutely crazy day in the National Football League. And we got Bama and Georgia tonight. Scooter East, producer extraordinaire on the way. A little trending coming up. Traffic and weather together on the 10s first. Good morning, Pat Butler.
Good morning, Bill. Next traffic update in 9 minutes at 5:20. Pat Butler, WTAM traffic on 1100 AM and 106.9 FM.
You mentioned you saw Saget do the stand-up. Was a part of the stand-up him explaining to you that he wasn't going to be like he was on Full House, or he just went right into it?
You know, maybe he kind of did at the beginning, if I remember correctly.
That's what everybody was. I never saw him in person, but that's what everybody would say. Man, he's a night and day. Gee, when
he did refer to the show throughout his performance,
really?
but the language was different.
In ways you can't share.
Yeah, exactly.
Lake effect, snow showers, blustery, cold. We're going to stay in the 20s, according to Cleveland 3 News meteorologist Matt Wentz. 19 feels like zero right now.
We entered 2022, the year of the tiger.
Tap in to your inner tiger.
Being extreme.
AM 1100.
All right, trending this morning, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scott Scooter, Jaguar Reese, producer extraordinaire alongside, posting a couple things. Jags, they get the number one pick now, too.
They have the number one pick.
Crazy.
But to cause so much of chaos, I mean, how about the Colts, though? I mean, they have no luck in Jacksonville, and they just look bad.
And Andy's kind of wondering about Carson Wentz right now,
yeah,
right? Because the last two games, they've not been able to do
the
anything.
Heat is
right?
On.
The heat's
yep.
On that
he
young
did
man
not,
now.
My gosh, you got to win that
wow
game. My goodness.
And you had the Colts had 2 weeks to beat yep the Raiders yep and then to beat the Jaguars. And the Jaguars dominated him that whole game. I mean, you got a 2-14 team or something.
They love you in Pittsburgh today.
They sure do.
The Browns highlights, if you can call them that up there, I know it was a win, but still. I mean, and Baker's back. That's what everybody's, that's all
well,
the report and everything.
Okay. I think that's
song and dance.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what needs to be said now, Bill.
National championship game tonight. We're going south. Georgia and Bama.
Yes, we are. And I'll tell
two
you
two and a half points.
Roll Tide, roll.
You think so?
I'm taking Bama plus
tie.
Bama plus 2.5. If Saban's getting points, I'm taking them. I'll take Saban and Bama plus 2.5.
You think Kirby can beat his mentor?
I don't think
he hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't done it yet.
No, he hasn't.
And I'll tell you what, Saban is so happy that they are where they're at because people weren't sure that they were going to win the SEC championship,
right.
And now when he did. Oh, it just laid out the red carpet for him.
College football playoffs, like just it's an extension of the SEC. You know, it's just like the SEC.
Really, yes.
It's like the SEC Invitational.
Yes, it is.
We'll invite a couple other schools to come in and give you a little TV time.
A little taste.
Little
yeah
taste. Get
now
out
and then
here
the Buckeyes get
yeah
in there,
yeah,
and that's
just
pretty
get
much
out of
it
here. Get out of here. It's time for us to play. Yeah.
Yes.
And they want
Georgia
to expand
tonight
the playoffs? Why?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, 5:15 coming up in 5. Rory O'Neill will join us. We're on the death of Bob Saget. Let's get to sports. Mike Snyder is in. Season finally over.
Yeah, the most disappointing season is finally over, Bill. It came to an end yesterday. They did get a win. They beat the Bengals 21-16. How about that? The Bengals win the division. The Browns swept the season series. Although the Bengals rested guys and didn't play Joe Burrow yesterday. But still, Case Keenum out there looking pretty good. Threw for 176 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ernest Johnson ran for 120. 3-3 in a score. The Browns finish up at 8-9. It was not supposed to be this way. This team really has too much talent to be under 500. I don't think anybody would debate that. Now, the big question as we go to the offseason, the quarterback. Baker Mayfield had his exit meeting with Coach Stefanski on Friday. Now, reportedly, there was a positive exchange. Coach Stefanski was asked about it.
That's very, very normal exit meetings with all the guys. I wanted to knock his out instead of waiting until Monday, just because we got a lot of guys that I got to talk to and get through.
You don't know if we'll be able to talk to him. Did he leave on a positive note? Was it good from that standpoint?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, he's looking forward. I'm looking forward for him to go get the surgery, rest up, get healthy, all those things.
So the Browns saying all those things about Baker. He's headed for surgery January 19th. And, what will their options be? And that, of course, is the big question. Everything else is really a distant second, although wide receivers certainly will be in need. And they'll have the 13th pick in the NFL draft next year. Jacksonville, as Scooter said, has the number one overall selection. Best moment of the day yesterday, the dedication of the Browns radio booth to be forever named the Doug Deacon radio booth, as Deke is retiring after over 50 years with the Browns. Now, as far as who the Browns will face next year, they'll host, in addition to their divisional rivals, they'll host the Patriots, Jets, Saints, Brady and the Buccaneers, and the Chargers. They'll travel to Atlanta, Buffalo, Carolina, Miami, Houston, and Washington. The Steelers got the help they needed when the Jaguars shocked the Colts, but boy, it was very tight last night. They had to sweat it out. An incredible game last night. Raiders win in overtime, 35-32 on a field goal as time expired. Had that game ended in a tie, both the Chargers and Raiders would have gotten in, and the Steelers would have been shut out. So how does your wild card weekend look? A busy one. Two games Saturday. Bengals will host the Raiders. Bills will host the Patriots. Then on Sunday, a triple header. Eagles at Tampa, 49ers at Dallas, Steelers at Kansas City Sunday night. And Monday night, for the first time, we'll play a wild card game. It'll be Arizona and the L.A. Rams. College football's national title will be decided tonight. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite over Alabama.
Picked up by Toscano Anderson, off to Thompson, 3 in the air, it's good. And Thompson now exhorting the crowd on as he makes it a 12-point Golden State lead.
Warriors pulled away in the third quarter, went on to beat the Cavaliers 96-82. Klay Thompson and his return after being out 2.5 years, recovering from a torn ACL and a ruptured Achilles tendon. He had 17 points to lead to, well, with Steph Curry scoring 28 as the Warriors got the win. Cavs get 17 from Lamar Stevens. They fall to 22-18. Road trip continues tonight at 10 at Sacramento. College ball, Cleveland State, an 86-80 win in overtime over Youngstown. Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
You really got to start pulling your weight. I mean, you're doing very few things around here anymore.
It's been a crazy,
a little slow right now.
Crazy cycle this last 20 hours.
The game, playing the game and everything else. So Tim's still out on the protocol.
Yeah, he's right in the protocol. Right. Hopefully by the end of the week he'll be back.
All right. We'll talk some more Browns throughout the morning. Josh Cribbs scheduled to join us at 7:50, of course. Best Browns coverage as he'll look back on yesterday, but more importantly the season and trying to look ahead. Baker was under contract anyway, right? 18.
Yeah, he's under contract. They picked up his option. They did not extend. There's a lot of talk about extending him. They just did the basic. They picked up his option for next year.
So the highlight, the news would simply be, yeah, you're already under contract. He's our guy going forward.
Yeah,
no surprise,
Bill, you know, you start looking at options. Something falls out, you know, all this talk about Derek Carr. Well, they just got to the playoffs. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. How about Vegas? They lose the coach, and now they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, there they are.
Absolutely. More on the death of Bob Saget, bringing Rory O'Neill. Kind of eerie. I went back and retweeted from his Twitter account. He was in Jacksonville just on Saturday night and said he loved performing and just a great tweet thanking the audience.
Yeah, Friday night, a show at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando, then Saturday night in Jacksonville, and then found dead in his hotel room in Orlando at the Ritz-Carlton on Sunday afternoon. So the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Florida said no signs of foul play, no evidence of any drug abuse, so they're waiting on an autopsy today to try to figure out what happened.
He was 65, Roy?
65 years old, a long career. You know, many people may not know, he actually won an Oscar.
I did not know that.
Yeah, 1977 for a student film that he did. It was a student project with the Academy Awards, and he won an Oscar way back then. So, a remarkable long career and varied. You know, we all know him from Full House, but also America's Funniest Home Videos. We may not have recognized him, but that was certainly his voice on How I Met Your Mother. And of course, plenty of other hosting duties and other stand-up performances throughout a long career.
He had just done about a 4 or 5 year role. Netflix had the spinoff Fuller House as well. So a full career on, you know, doing stand-up and everything else. And I mean, they're saying natural causes. So, I mean, sadly, sounds like he just died alone in a hotel room.
Well, that's what it looks like. A father of three, by the way. So a dad of three girls, just like on that show, Full and Fuller House. Just an awful and surprised bit of sad news yesterday afternoon.
Bob Saget passing at 65. Rory O'Neill this morning. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
His 2014 memoir, the book Dirty Daddy, The Chronicles of a Family Man Turned Filthy Comedian. Bob Saget, 65.
Keep on trucking with Valley Ford of Huron.
AM 1100.
All right, trending this morning, Wilson Center Facebook, wilsoncenter.com. Scott Scooter, Jaguar Reese, producer extraordinaire alongside, posting a couple things. Jags, they get the number one pick now, too.
They have the number one pick.
Crazy.
But to cause so much of chaos, I mean, how about the Colts, though? I mean, they have no luck in Jacksonville, and they just look bad.
And Andy's kind of wondering about Carson Wentz right now,
yeah.
Right? Because the last two games, they've not been able to do
it.
The
heat is on.
The heat's on.
He did not. My gosh, you got to win that
game.
Wow. My goodness.
And you had the Colts had 2 weeks to beat the Raiders and then to beat the Jaguars. And the Jaguars dominated him that whole game. I mean, you got a 2-14 team or something.
They love you in Pittsburgh today.
They sure do.
The Browns highlights, if you can call them that up there, I know it was a win, but still. I mean, and Baker's back. That's what everybody's, that's all
well,
the report and everything.
Okay. I think that's
song and dance.
Right. Yeah, I think that's what needs to be said now, Bill.
National championship game tonight. We're going south. Georgia and Bama.
Yes, we are. And I'll tell
you what. 2.5 points.
Roll Tide, roll.
You think so?
I'm taking Bama plus Bama plus 2.5. If Saban's getting points, I'm taking them. I'll take Saban and Bama plus 2.5.
You think Kirby can beat his mentor?
I don't think
he hasn't done it yet.
He hasn't done it yet.
No, he hasn't.
And I'll tell you what. Saban is so happy that they are where they're at because people weren't sure that they were going to win the SEC championship.
Right.
And now when he did, oh, it just laid out the red carpet for him.
College football playoffs, like just it's an extension of the SEC. You know, it's just like the SEC.
Really
it's like the SEC Invitational.
Yes, it is.
We'll invite a couple other schools to come in and give you a little TV time.
A little taste.
Little
taste.
Get out of
there. The Buckeyes get in there, and that's
just
pretty much it.
Here. Get out of here. It's time for us to play. Yeah,
yes. And they want to expand tonight. The playoffs? Why?
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, 5:15 coming up in 5. Rory O'Neill will join us. We're on the death of Bob Saget. Let's get to sports. Mike Snyder is in. Season finally over.
Yeah, the most disappointing season is finally over, Bill. It came to an end yesterday. They did get a win. They beat the Bengals 21-16. How about that? The Bengals win the division. The Browns swept the season series. Although the Bengals rested guys and didn't play Joe Burrow yesterday. But still, Case Keenum out there looking pretty good. Threw for 176 yards, 2 touchdowns. D'Ernest Johnson ran for 123 in a score. The Browns finish up at 8-9. It was not supposed to be this way. This team really has too much talent to be under 500. I don't think anybody would debate that. Now, the big question as we go to the offseason, the quarterback. Baker Mayfield had his exit meeting with Coach Stefanski on Friday. Now, reportedly, there was a positive exchange. Coach Stefanski was asked about it.
That's very, very normal exit meetings with all the guys. Wanted to knock his out instead of waiting until Monday. Just because we got a lot of guys that I got to talk to and get through.
Don't know if we'll be able to talk to him. Did he leave on a positive note? Was it good from that standpoint?
Oh yeah, yes. You know, he's looking forward. I'm looking forward for him to go get the surgery, rest up, get healthy, all those things.
So the Browns saying all those things about Baker. He's headed for surgery January 19th. And, what will their options be? And that, of course, is the big question. Everything else is really a distant second, although wide receivers certainly will be in need. And they'll have the 13th pick in the NFL draft next year. Jacksonville, as Scooter said, has the number one overall selection. Best moment of the day yesterday, the dedication of the Browns radio booth to be forever named the Doug Deacon radio booth, as Deke is retiring after over 50 years with with the Browns. Now, as far as who the Browns will face next year, they'll host, in addition to their divisional rivals, they'll host the Patriots, Jets, Saints, Brady and the Buccaneers, and the Chargers. They'll travel to Atlanta, Buffalo, Carolina, Miami, Houston, and Washington. The Steelers got the help they needed when the Jaguars shocked the Colts, but boy, it was very tight last night. They had to sweat it out. An incredible game last night. Raiders win in overtime, 35-32 on a field goal as time expired. Had that game ended in a tie, both the Chargers and Raiders would have gotten in, and the Steelers would have been shut out. So how does your wild card weekend look? A busy one. Two games Saturday. Bengals will host the Raiders. Bills will host the Patriots. Then on Sunday, a triple header. Eagles at Tampa, 49ers at Dallas, Steelers at Kansas City Sunday night, and Monday night for the first time we'll play a wild card game. It'll be Arizona and the L.A. Rams. College football's national title will be decided tonight. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite over Alabama.
Picked up by Toscano Anderson, off to Thompson, three in the air, it's good. And Thompson now exhorting the crowd on as he makes it a 12-point Golden State lead.
Warriors pulled away in the third quarter, went on to beat the Cavaliers 96-82. Klay Thompson, in his return after being out 2.5 years, recovering from a torn ACL and a ruptured Achilles tendon, he had 17 points to lead to, well, with Steph Curry scoring 28 as the Warriors got the win. Cavs get 17 from Lamar Stevens. They fall to 22-18. Road trip continues tonight at 10 at Sacramento. College ball, Cleveland State, an 86-81. Winner in overtime over Youngstown. Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
You really got to start pulling your weight. I mean, you're doing very few things around here anymore.
It's been
a little slow right now.
Crazy cycle this last 20 hours.
Playing the game and everything else. So Tim's still out on the protocol.
Yeah, he's right in the protocol. Right. Hopefully by the end of the week he'll be back.
All right. We'll talk some more Browns throughout the morning. Josh Cribbs scheduled to join us at 7:50, of course. Best Browns coverage as he'll look back on yesterday, but more importantly the season and trying to look ahead. Baker was under contract anyway, right? 18.
Yeah, he's under contract. They picked up his option. They did not extend. There's a lot of talk about extending him. They just did the basic. They picked up his option for next year.
So the highlight, the news would simply be, yeah, you're already under contract. He's our guy going forward.
Yeah,
no surprise. There's right now.
And Bill, you know, you start looking at options. Something falls out, you know, all this talk about Derek Carr. Well, they just got to the playoffs. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how about Vegas? They lose the coach, and now they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. There they are.
Absolutely. More on the death of Bob Saget, bringing Rory O'Neill. Kind of eerie. I went back and retweeted from his Twitter account. He was in Jacksonville just on Saturday night and said he loved performing and just a great tweet thanking the audience.
Yeah, Friday night, a show at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando, then Saturday night in Jacksonville, and then found dead in his hotel room in Orlando at the Ritz-Carlton on Sunday afternoon. So the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Florida said no signs of foul play, no evidence of any drug abuse, so they're waiting on an autopsy today to try to figure out what happened.
He was 65, Roy?
65 years old, a long career. You know, many people may not know, he actually won an Oscar.
I did not know that.
Yeah, 1977 for a student film that he did. It was a student project with the Academy Awards, and he won an Oscar way back then. So, yeah, a remarkable long career and varied. You know, we all know him from Full House, but also America's Funniest Home Videos. We may not have recognized him, but that was certainly his voice on How I Met Your Mother. And, of course, plenty of other hosting duties and other stand-up performances throughout a long career.
He just did about a 4 or 5 year role. Netflix had the spinoff Fuller House as well. So a full career on, you know, doing stand-up and everything else. And, I mean, they're saying natural causes. So, I mean, sadly, sounds like he just died alone in a hotel room.
Well, that's what it looks like. A father of three, by the way. So a dad of three girls, just like on that show, Full and Fuller House. Just an awful and surprised bit of sad news yesterday afternoon.
Bob Saget passing at 65. Rory O'Neill this morning. Rory, thanks much.
Thanks, Bill.
His 2014 memoir, the book Dirty Daddy, The Chronicles of a Family Man Turned Filthy Comedian. Bob Saget, 65.
Keep on trucking with Valley Ford of Huron.
5:26, Money Monday tip for this morning.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
On Your Money, Ashley Costellos, your financial advisor out at NCA, financial planners with me. Got three things to think about this morning. Three things when it comes to looking around about your life and your finances. Ashley Costellos, certified financial planner, NCA Financial Planners. So, I guess first, just look around this year compared to the start of last year. Any life changes yet? It really ought to take into consideration, huh?
Yeah, so, I know a lot of people that went through a lot of major life changes. So, whether it be a move, a job transition, marriage, divorce, birth, or death, it could create a snowball effect with many other financial areas in your life or your overall financial plan. So, maybe look back and reflect what the situation was and understand the impact. So if there was, you know, someone passed away or that right. was in your estate plan, you know, maybe you can consider updating your estate plan so it's, you know, more up to date.
A estate plan or a will? I mean, if you added, you know, you had a new baby in the last year, I mean, you're barely getting enough sleep to think anyway, but think about what your plan has been, right?
You might as well.
Yeah. Here's another one. What could have maybe been done differently as you reflect a bit? Are you talking about a purchase mistake or a save? What do you mean here?
Well, maybe you were planning a vacation and you're budgeting for this vacation and you didn't quite have enough to cover it. And
right.
maybe you're like, oh, you know, maybe I should have done that differently. Or you could have increased your 401k contributions because the cash flow permitted it, but you didn't. So looking back at some of those things you could have considered, it can create opportunities for your future, and that'll set you up for a good year.
You're back from a Christmas vacation. You know you're going to take it again this year, but you're still paying on the one. So why not clean that up and then save ahead so you're not in that hole to start the new year then, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's an example.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. And all this really comes to the final point here, just looking forward when it comes to budgeting and your money situation.
Exactly. And we all had those shoulda, woulda, coulda moments. Should have done this,
yeah.
should have spent less, should have done that. So as I mentioned before, maybe capitalize on those moments that happened last year. And what can you do to set yourself up? So did you need to revisit your budget and savings? Do you need to review your investment strategy? What about your house? Did you miss out on an opportunity to refinance? Interest rates are still low, so maybe that opportunity still presents itself. And it, like I said before, adjust your estate plan. So it's good to work with an advisor to look at the big picture and review it all.
And we love the advisors at NCA Financial Planners who are so kind to help us and share some money information, as Ashley has this morning, our certified financial planner with a money update from NCA Financial Planners. Ashley, good list. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Would $1,000 help you? Thought so. Okay, you got a chance to win. Help pay the bills with $1,000. First chance to listen to hear the key word coming up after the news at 7 o'clock up to 12 times weekdays. Your chance to win. You're going to hear that in the new Enter It at WTAM.com. Watch for callback from the 513 to win the money. Good luck from WTAM 1100. $1,000. First chance to win coming up later after 7.
A new year comes with new excitement, new ambitions, new milestones. Is this the year you pop the question, have a child?
Speaking of the Browns, the NFL, let's bring in Michael Bauer to sort through this playoff picture. Look, we're here in Cleveland, we're scratching our head. We're going to wait on the Electoral College. I cannot believe Pittsburgh is in somehow, huh?
I don't think Pittsburgh can believe that Pittsburgh is in somehow here. With at least three of the final regular season games coming down to overtime games to determine which teams will be playing in the postseason, we now know the six matchups for the wild card round. And believe it or not, Pittsburgh is the wildest of any of the teams that could make it to the Super Bowl here. They're at the bottom of the list is the possibility, according to the Las Vegas odds, of getting to the Super Bowl. So I don't know what that means for them, if that helps push them, or if it just highlights that, wow, they're stunned that they made it in, but they are technically in. And among the interesting matchups for the first round, you got Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles, Cowboys reigniting a rivalry with the San Francisco 49ers, and the New England Patriots facing off against the Buffalo Bills for the third time this season. And this wild card weekend, for the first time, will feature a game on Monday as well. So the way the schedule kind of breaks down is the NFC portion of the playoffs on Sunday be the Eagles and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs are favored by 9. You got San Francisco taking on Dallas. Dallas is favored by 3. And then on Monday, you're going to have the Arizona Cardinals at L.A. Rams. Rams up by 4.5 at this point. Then the AFC playoffs are going to have Saturday, the Raiders, who got in last night in that overtime field goal win against the San Diego Chargers, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, who were favored by 6.5. The Patriots at Buffalo Bills, the Bills are favored by 4.5. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 13, which is a part of why the Steelers are just way down at the bottom of the list of teams that could make it to the Super Bowl.
The NFL, the Shield, if you will, had to love it. All the excitement into this final weekend of the regular season.
Yeah.
So many teams, except in Cleveland. Of course, we're still in it, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. that's kind of the weird thing about getting into a Week 18, right? I mean, here it is the first time that you've ever had a Week 18 in NFL history. It did not disappoint. I mean, three of the big games coming down to overtime to determine who was going to go in there. You had an end result that is now giving us a very eventful wild card weekend. And frankly, as somebody who's a Lions fan, my Lions beat the Packers at the end of this all. I'm still stunned by that. I have no idea how that happened.
Tell me you still had a picture of Wayne Fonts up on your wall as a kid.
It's framed. It's framed. But yes, I still have it.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day. Take care. Michael Bauer sorting through the NFL playoff picture. Yeah, the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots playing yet again. It's kind of like Georgia-Alabama yet again.
Hey, Carmen Angelo here. Window Nation's virtual home show extravaganza sale is back. Get two free windows.
Today, Cleveland.com over the weekend put together a list, according to NOACA, looking at crashes. They ranked 39 different corridors around greater Cleveland, northeast Ohio. From the latest information we had from a year or two ago. Pat, I sent you this list. Cleveland.com had this. Let's go over the top five. I don't know if any of these surprise you, because, I mean, you're talking about traffic every day. St. Clair Avenue between East 115th and Casper.
Yes.
That comes up a lot.
That that one's kind of out there. So, you know, I looked at the list, and a lot of these things, I don't think they're so much morning drive issues.
They're just all time of day.
Some of them are. Some of them I recognize as frequently popping up in the morning, but some probably go throughout the rest of the day.
West 117th between Lorraine and Berea.
That I can see.
That a lot. All right, Lorraine Road and North Olmsted, the one right there between Dover and Great Northern Boulevard.
And that one surprised me. That was a surprise.
St. Clair Avenue between East 93rd and East 115th.
That one makes sense for sure.
12 fatalities there. Yes. And Mender Avenue between Hopkins and Old Johnny Cake. You talk about Old Johnny Cake a lot.
Well, I love talking about Old Johnny Cake.
That's the top spot, though, when it comes to wrecks, they say.
Yeah.
From the data that NOACA put together.
Yeah, 229 crashes in this time span that they tabulated.
So be careful. No matter where you're driving, be careful. Yeah. But those are some of the worst areas as far as wrecks, at least.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. 554.
WTAM 1100. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for traffic and weather on the 10s, mornings and afternoons on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Trending this morning, Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scooter East putting together a package. Check out pretty good bio and report on the death of Bob Saget, right?
Scooter? Yeah, you check it out. I got the best of Full House and Bob Saget's first America's Funniest Home Videos, his first show.
Here's the report from ABC.
Highly skilled athletes or bullies in shorts.
As Danny Tanner of Full House fame,
DJ, can I talk to you?
Bob Saget gained the reputation as the quintessential family man.
Hi, everybody, I'm Bob Saget, and this is a new suit.
And as host of America's Funniest Home Videos for nearly a decade, Saget became synonymous with making people laugh. As recently as last night, he was doing what he loved, stand-up comedy in Florida. But hours after what would be his final routine, the 65-year-old was found dead in a hotel room in Orlando. Officials say they responded to the hotel Sunday afternoon, where he was pronounced dead at the scene. The circumstances of his death remain unclear, but detectives say they found no signs of foul play or drug use. Just this morning, he posted this on social media, Love Tonight's show at PV Concert Hall in Jacksonville. Appreciative audience. Thanks again to Real Tim Wilkins for opening. I had no idea I did a two-hour set tonight. I'm happily addicted again to this expletive. Check BobSaget.com for my dates in 2022. He is survived by his wife and three children.
It's sad that he passed. Looks like he died alone in a hotel room. And as she was reading the tweet, I was watching because I retweeted that eerie to look back that he retweeted. He tweeted after his last concert.
Yes.
But she had to drop one of the words in the tweet, which was Bob Saget.
Oh, yes.
I mean, his stand, I never saw it, but that's all they ever heard.
He was funny, dirty jokes, filthy, but he was good. He was funny on his stand-up.
I never saw him perform, but I've heard that, though.
Yeah. Yes. He's squeaky clean Danny Tanner, not when he does stand-up. Yeah.
Passing at 65 yesterday. Mm-hmm. See more Wills and Snyder Facebook, willsandsnyder.com. Scooter Reese, I'd hate to ask your picks over the weekend.
6-3-1. 6 wins, 3 losses, 1 push. And the push was the Raiders and Chargers. them. I thought they were going to tie. I literally thought they were going.
Yeah, well, it was there.
It was there.
How are the Raiders and the Steelers in the playoffs?
Yes. Well,
there should be an investigation.
My Jaguars made that possible for the Steelers. And, you know.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, Big Ben, he's lumbering along. But you know what? He gets winning drives.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, when they beat the Browns here, you know, the Browns defense could not stop him. He got them on a winning drive. Yesterday, they needed to get into field goal range. He did. And that's really what it's about when you look at quarterback play in the NFL.
Right.
We did not get that this year.
One of those mornings, you probably get a text already from your Steeler buddy. If you're a Brown, you know, you go back and forth. Hey, we're still playing. How'd you guys do?
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts. Josh Gribbs later at 7:50, right?
Yep, he'll do the X's and O's and talk about what's coming up for next season.
His take is, yet again, we're looking forward. And there's a couple new things this morning. Kentucky Fried Chicken and Beyond Meat, they're releasing Beyond Fried Chicken nationwide today. This might be going too far. Starting today, select KFC restaurants across the country are going to sell on the menu, a part of, while supplies last, they say, a meat alternative in 6 to 12 pieces. And the combo. Now, they got the dipping sauce, and the price is $6.99. So if you're a Kentucky Fried Chicken fan, be careful when you look at the menu today. The Beyond Meat Colonel has something for you at KFC. And if you're a Walmart shopper, this is interesting. I mean, we can click and you know, online, you're picking that sort of thing up at Walmart and all, picking up at Walmart. They're now going to expand their in-home delivery service for Walmart. According to this, they're going to test it in several cities: Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Los Angeles, Chicago. Would you pay $19.95 a month or $148 a year to basically have what you order at Walmart delivered to your house? So you click on what you want, they'll deliver it, and then according to your instructions, either put everything in the garage or inside the front door. You give them your smart code key if you want. That's an extra $49.95, they say. But again, for the year, $148, you click and you shop at Walmart. They let you do like two drops a month. You don't even have to leave your house. You click, you shop, pick out what you want at Walmart. Then they'll bring it home. They'll bring it to your house. And if you got milk, I guess they put it in the fridge.
WTAM 1100. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for... Here's some breakfast for your brain.
Now we see the cost of everything going up. It's called inflation, kids. Stephen Semple is with me. He's a business growth consultant. Been seeing him on Fox a lot. He's talking about this. The book is called Raising Prices. And I want to get to the question about whether or not you ought to be asking for a raise right now. I mean, with the way the job market is, your employer ought to be happy you're even showing up. Stephen, good morning. The I word, inflation, it really touches everything, doesn't it?
It absolutely affects everything, and you're right. We have not seen these types of numbers in decades.
Now, inflation affects everything, including what I'm going to get paid. So let's talk about that, because this labor market, no matter how you studied economics, everything seems upside down, and you really got to pay for people nowadays.
You do. There is a shortage of labor. You know, there's hardly a place that we can go today where you don't see help wanted, hiring all positions. And businesses across the board are saying they need more people and they're looking for more good people, and there's a definite shortage.
Before the pandemic, there was a political argument about raising the minimum wage. We're seeing that being done just because the market forces, they have to do it to pay people, right?
Yeah, we're absolutely seeing that. And pre-pandemic, part of what was driving that was, again, unemployment rate was very low. Companies were hunting and searching and having a hard time finding people, and that was starting to also drive the political argument. But, yep, we're really seeing that happen in many, many sectors.
Let me break this down and ask you two questions. One for the employee. Can I go in and ask for a raise? And if so, how much should I be asking for nowadays?
Yeah, the how much really depends. You have to get a bit of an idea of what's going on in your industry and in your area. But certainly now is a time where you can go in and ask that question. Simply because your employer is probably looking for people, and the last thing they want to do is lose someone. You know, when you're looking for two and you lose one, you're now looking for three. That's a tough position to be in.
Now, if I'm the employer, I got to be ready for these questions. But I got to manage my cost. I still got to make a profit, right?
Absolutely. And this is another one of the reasons why we're seeing many companies raising their prices and just being in that situation where they really have to. But yes, you have to be ready for this conversation. And it's also an opportunity to perhaps be a little bit creative. Maybe there's other things that you can offer an employee, such as, you know, remote working or maybe more flexible work hours or something along that lines that can help attract folks that is not money-based.
Hey, finally, Stephen, just even in the service industry, we're seeing how, I hate to say it, but how low the bar is. I mean, if you got a fast food place, you're just happy they're open. You don't even expect to go in anymore. You know, you got to drive through because they can't find anybody to work.
Yeah, it's tough. And this is the other reason why, if you've got good employees, I think employers would be a very, very good idea for them to be proactive on their good employees. Because, you know, a lot of people are uncomfortable to ask for that wage increase, and you might lose them to the guy down the road.
Good point. Take care of your people. All right, Raising Prices is the book. Stephen, good stuff. Thanks much.
Thank you.
At the Original Mattress Factory, we know that a middleman adds little actual value. Unfortunately, most mainstream...
AM 1100. Concerts, music, news. Let's bring in the guy, Barry Gable at Live Nation checks in. Morning, pal.
Hey, how you doing, Bill? Good morning. Happy New Year.
A belated Happy New Year. Let's get right to the big announcement you made late last week. Eagles Hotel California, the tour has been extended and includes Cleveland, right?
Yes, it does, and it will be a great day. March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the band is coming, and they're going to be performing Hotel California from beginning to end, as you've been mentioning most of the morning, at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Of course, the band's been traveling with Don and Joe Walsh, of course, Timothy B. Schmidt, Deacon Fry Glenson, and Vince Gill. But it's cool that they're going to be traveling with not only a choir, but a full orchestra performing that iconic album that was released in 76. And, just really looking forward to hearing that show, seeing that show. And then of course all the hits. There's a great local connection with that record and that band. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that Joe left Wichita. Joe Walsh, made his way to Kent State. And became friendly with the guys that hung around with Michael Stanley and Jimmy Fox and the James Gang, of course. And there's a guy by the name of Bill Simczyk you might remember. Bill actually signed Michael Stanley to his first record deal on Tumbleweed Records, put out the album Silk. And Bill Simczyk was the producer and the engineer of Hotel California.
Great story. It is a people business in the music business. I was reading this the Rolling Stone story from years ago. Fry and they knew they you know it had been a while since Peaceful Easy Feeling. We're talking late 70s. They knew they had to come out. The next album had to be big. And boy, it was. The sound, the darkness, if you will, the production on Hotel California, right?
It was, like you said, an amazing record. And that song, Hotel California, in itself, you know, with those iconic double leads at the end of the song, the words, the lyrics about the way of the world in,
right.
in California
right.
at the time. Great record, and you know, won a couple of Grammys for New Kid in Town and Hotel California, but it didn't win the Album of the Year that year. It was won by Fleetwood Mac and the album Rumors.
Great music that is still great today. Hotel California, the tour comes to Cleveland. Tickets on sale Friday, Barry?
Yeah, this Friday, the 14th, and you can get them at rocketmortgagefieldhouse.com, and that show is definitely going to be incredibly hot, that's for sure.
Let's get to Blossom and look ahead. Already lining up some shows, including Miranda Lambert and Little Big Town together this year, right?
That is going to be a really cool show. The tour being billed as the Bandwagon Tour, and it'll be going out, hitting Cleveland at Blossom Music Center on June 4th. That show is also going on sale this Friday, along with opening act Cadillac 3. Every indication right now is that this summer is going to be an incredibly busy year, both at Blossom, stadium shows that'll be announced, you know, earlier this year. Machine Gun Kelly, Cleveland's own, played at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. He announced he's going to be playing Brown Stadium in August with an incredible lineup. Really, it's going to be a very, very busy year.
We got a lot to make up for, right, on the touring side. A couple of the dates, I got Barry Gable with Live Nation with me. The Music of Queen, KeyBank State Theater, Playhouse Square, that's coming up on the 21st.
That's right, a couple of weeks from now, featuring Cleveland Pops and orchestra with singer Tony Vincent. I'm not sure if your audience knows Tony, but he was a finalist on The Voice in season 2, but he also made an incredible name for himself as the lead on Green Day's play on Broadway. We also have Dancing with the Stars coming down into Akron at the Civic Center, the Civic Theater down there, and of course, Rick Springfield is going to be here down at the Goodyear Theater for Valentine's Day. It's a solo performance, what you call Strip Down, and it's a great storytelling thing. And tickets for all those shows are on sale at all Ticketmaster locations.
Barry Gable with Live Nation. Follow up at the website, of course, with ticket info. And again, the big story with the Eagles and Hotel California, with those tickets going on sale on Friday. Speaking of the Eagles, Irving Askoff, the manager of so many. I was reading a couple of stories. I wanted to ask you about this. In the music business over the last year, the stories have been about selling catalogs. Dylan, I think Bruce Springsteen got like a $500 million. Last week, John Legend. I saw an interview with David Crosby, which caught my eye when I read the interview. He sold his to Irving. And his point was what streaming pays and the whole music business. So many of these artists are looking at what people want for their catalog, and they say, okay, I'll sell it to you. What are you seeing in the music business on that front?
Well, you know, the world was upside down with the pandemic, needless to say. And because, albums are being sold nowadays, and you get some money for streaming. But, you know, the world of the musicians, they make their money on touring, Bill. You know, so when people go to the shows, they buy the T-shirts. You know, now here you go 2 years later and there had not been a lot of tours. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons why artists probably sell their catalogs, whether it's for, you know, they're older and their estates are coming up or whatever. But the bottom line is there's a lot of money to be made in the songs that these guys wrote. They're iconic. People can use them for licensing, for brand deals, for a variety of other, you know, royalty deals that can be done. And, you know, companies like Sony will buy a Bruce Springsteen catalog, and the next time they make a, you know, biopic, they'll probably resurface all these Bruce songs that they can recycle of all the songs that he owns. So there's a lot of reasons why artists will do that. There's a lot of money should be made in branding and licensing. I'm sure your listeners will turn in every commercial you hear is based on the music and the soundtrack of our lives. And a lot of money to be made there. And as these artists get older and they're not touring, hey, they need their dollars as well.
Yeah, they can still sing the music, but somebody else in the long run is going to make a lot of money on it. All right. Little Miranda Lambert to get us out of here. Barry Gable at Live Nation. Big concert news. Good stuff as always. Thanks, pal. We look forward to a lot of visits this year.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
See you, buddy.
Thanks for listening to Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. If you miss an interview, find it later on the Wills and Snyder Daily Podcast on WTAM.com or on our iHeartRadio app.
Making sure that your bags arrive on time for the dog and pony show.
A new year comes with new excitement, new ambitions, new milestones. Is this the year you pop the question, have a child?
Discover music, radio, and podcasts you'll love.
WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside Josh Cribbs. One more chat this for the season. Brought to you by our friends at Dollar Bank. Get a super low home equity loan at Dollar Bank. Visit dollar.bank or call 800-242-BANK. Equal housing lender. Josh, good morning, pal.
Good morning.
If you've got some time today, could you go back and look and count up and see if Pittsburgh for sure is in? Because I'm still just...
I don't get it either.
How did this happen?
It was because of an Indianapolis loss. Some teams that were supposed to make it actually didn't get in. You know, Indianapolis and the Chargers. But I'm like, how the heck did the Steelers get in? And that made it even worse that we're not in. I woke up, like, even after the game, I was like, I know we won, but why do I feel awful, even more awful? And I knew they didn't make the playoffs last week, but now I feel bad. But, yeah, the Steelers made the playoffs. And, it's, you know, we had many chances. I mean, many, many, many opportunities to keep our own fate in our hand, and we weren't able to do that. But, you know, 8-9, you know, we've had worse seasons.
Well, we have, but Josh, the way the expectations that I think were legitimate going in, they fell very short of them. It wasn't supposed to be this way, but here we are. The Steelers are in. The Browns beat the Bengals twice, and the Bengals win the division. Yeah, there's just a lot of things to anger you. Josh, all right, let's just get right to it. Off season, what's the first number one thing on your mind for this team to figure out?
Off season is providing depth. Going into the next year, Clowney, see if he stays with us. And then simply, is our quarterback going to be our quarterback, Baker Mayfield? You know, they have to make a decision on him because they picked up his fifth-year option. But what is our future? You know, you have players vested in this team. Players are vested in this team, and, you know, they want to know their future. They want to know what will this team be like, and also for recruiting veteran players. So this offseason will be one to keep an eye on.
You know, Josh, the indication given it was a positive meeting between Baker and the coach, but I mean, the Browns really, at least discreetly, they've got to look around a little bit, don't they, for maybe a possible upgrade at that position?
Well, they're not doing their job if they don't look at to upgrade every position. You know, when you talk about every position, of course not running back. You know, that was one of our most elite spots on the field last year. However, you know, every other position other than Miles Garrett will be looked at. I mean, it's just you can't literally do your job if you're not trying to improve on our team. We did not have a Super Bowl team. We thought we had one on paper. We didn't, because it only matters what you do. So you're not doing your job if you're not going out there trying to improve each position, trying to make this team better than it was the last. We digress from making it to the playoffs, so they have to, you know, put the pieces together in mind, keeping in mind what the rest of the NFL looks like. We can't just be better as the Browns. We have to not just keep up with the rest of the NFL, but try to outdo them. It's a competition. It's all about winning.
That's a great point. If you look at that game last night, the way the Raiders and the Chargers zinging the ball around, what we've seen in Joe Burrow. One other thing, though, Josh, and we talk about the quarterback and everything else, but special teams, Josh, they can't they find anybody to return a punt? And the kicking game was very questionable. I mean, it was absolutely awful. It was like there was nothing special about these special teams.
Yeah, and I look at that all the time, and I'm vocal about that. And as soon as if you look at good teams, great teams in the league, they value that position. They value those, you know, special teams in general. And it's, you know, I'm not saying that the Browns don't value it, but you know, taking a good look at it, you know, and they tried to address it even with the addition of JoJo Natson and Donovan Peoples-Jones to try to put him back there, even with Felton. You know, so they attempted to try to correct certain things, but, you know, the totality of the unit is not there of years past, and it's noticeable.
Best Browns coverage, Josh Cribbs. Thanks for your time all season. All the best continued to you and the family. Hey, Bama and Georgia tonight, who you got?
Oh, man, I'd be remiss if I don't say Bama just because the coaches that I've coached with, and it's going to be a good game, let's say that. But I'm going with Bama Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. Josh, all the best. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. Andrew Barry talks, what, tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, we'll hear from him. Yep.
Fred Greatham will join us the next day. We'll talk about
it. Yeah, hear what Andrew has to say or how he says it, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And Pittsburgh's in. You're sure about that?
They are in.
We're not waiting on the Electoral College or California.
Boy, amazing.
Rod Stewart, birthday today.
prediction. 2022,
our prediction.
The COVID scare is over.
You will need the Glenn Beck.
8:23, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. And let's talk about the Cavs. Bring in Tim Alcorn, who was in protocol, but you're still feeling okay, right, Tim?
Feeling 100%. I'm fine.
People concerned about that. I'll make sure I mention that. Cavs update is brought to you by Huntington. Huntington Earlier Access. To pay your cash or standby, this is how Huntington reinvents banking. Mike Snyder called it a 96-82 loss last night. Tim Alcorn scoring at home. Found out and reminded me that, what, Rondo had 15 points. Stephen with, I think, 17 last night, Tim?
Yeah, career high for Lamar Stevens. I'll tell you what, he's a gritty player off that Cavalier bench. Now, right now, he's in the starting lineup with Okoro being out. But Lamar Stevens, he's earned his minutes. He plays very, very hard.
You know, Tim, last night, too, he brought that that element, that physical play that the Cavs lacked elsewhere. Boy, they just got clobbered on the boards, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did, and it was something where it was an energized Golden State team. Number one, they're a great team, and now to get Klay Thompson back, and they just played with a lot of energy, and you're right, Mike, the Cavs did look a little lethargic, and boy, you can't do that against Golden State. You've got to be ready from the opening tip.
Well, you know, we talked, Tim, before the game, and it was an opportunity for the Cavs. When you go out there, you know there doesn't get any tougher place to play, especially last night with Klay Thompson coming back. And I think it's another step. They've got to, you know, figure some things out. That was another level that they weren't ready to reach just yet.
And as you said, Mike, we talked during the pregame last night. That's something the Cavs will learn from. The next time they're in that environment, they're in that pressure cooker type scenario, they can look back on the Golden State game and say, okay, we didn't respond well. So how do we grow from that? How do we learn from that?
You look at Rondo. Bill mentions Rondo. Boy, he already has just stepped into him. You can see the impact he's going to have. Rubio certainly was terrific. Rondo's a little different. He's really not the shooter, although he shot it well last night for the Cavs, but that's not his game, really. It's his passing, defense, and rebounds, but he can see the impact he's going to have on this team.
Oh, you can see why championship-level teams like a guy like Rajon Rondo, why he's a four-time All-Star. He's a tremendous facilitator. So for guys that are going to be on the floor with Rondo, as you said, similar to Rubio, he will find you, and he'll find you in the spot that you want to be in. So, and as you also mentioned, Mike, the ability to really lock down on the defensive end. So a terrific acquisition.
Now, the late one tonight, 10 o'clock tip out in Sacramento,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, rematch with the Kings. The Kings will let you score some points. They don't play a whole lot of defense. But, boy, Tim, when you get out of these trips, you just never know. And you just hope the Cavs now have the right mindset tonight.
Absolutely. You got to put last night behind you. You've got to get ready for tonight. It's a back-to-back. Now, for Sacramento, they're on a back-to-back as well. So they got shellacked in Portland last night. But, yeah, put last night behind you and get ready to take on the Sacramento team.
Tim Alcorn bringing it strong. Even looking at the schedule to know what Sacramento's, that's pretty good. You know, this guy didn't phone it in now. He is a pro.
He is.
Well, you know, I keep track of this. I stat everything at the house.
I know you do. Yeah, get that scorebook. All right. Thanks, pal. Be good.
Thanks, Tim. Talk to you tonight.
Jim Jones, this time tomorrow morning. Serena Winters now with Bally Sports will join us
yes.
on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll welcome her. Our first visit with her.
Yeah, she tweeted Jared Allen said he took full responsibility on the 22 offensive rebounds.
Bill, they got clobbered.
Not good.
Kevon Looney, I mean, we could talk about Klay Thompson and Curry,
yeah.
But Kevon Looney had 18 rebounds, 9 offensive, and he owned the glass. Cavaliers got to pick it up there, and that should not happen against that big Cavs front line.
Warriors beat them 96-82. Got Sacramento tonight, tip-off 10 o'clock here and on the iHeartRadio app.
At Huntington, we've been asking ourselves, is it possible to lend money at zero interest? And it totally is. Introduce
big debate. Indianapolis, they got wins, and he couldn't win the last two games for them, right?
No, he couldn't.
So, I mean, there are other cities with quarterback issues.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Washington, I was just reading a story there that their big thing is to go find their quarterback. So we can sit there and say, well, go get that guy. But there's other teams that are in search mode. And, you know, who is actually available that is an upgrade?
I'm not surprised at what we heard over the weekend. There was an exit interview, and yeah, Baker, we're, you know, go get the surgery, be healthy, we'll see you next year. That
Well, he's under contract.
What else are you
going to
say?
What else are they going to say? Now, we're going to hear from Andrew Berry tomorrow. I don't think he's going to shed a lot of light on what his plan is. I think he'll be discreet, but they have to look around. I had Josh Cribbs with us earlier, and you're looking to upgrade every position all the time. But that quarterback position, we can talk about the need for wide receivers, more depth, special team help, but the big question is a quarterback. And an example of that, after their 21-16 win yesterday, I think it was like the first question to Kevin Stefanski, hey, we hear that you met with Baker.
That's very, very normal exit meetings with all the guys. Wanted to knock his out instead of waiting until Monday, just because we got a lot of guys that I got to talk to and get through.
You don't know if we'll be able to talk to him. Did he leave on a positive note? Was it good from that standpoint?
Oh, yeah. Yes. You know, he's looking forward. I'm looking forward for him to go get the surgery, rest up, get healthy, all those things.
And what about the rest of the team, especially in the offense, Baker and his leadership going forward? Those are things that they have got to be pondering and discussing behind closed doors as they look ahead. Again, we'll hear from Andrew Berry tomorrow. We know this. The Browns will have the 13th pick in the draft. And, of course, that's coming up in the spring. Now, the Browns will have their exit. Other players will have their exit meetings today. We'll hear from Coach Stefanski for a final time also. So this afternoon, the wild card playoff weekend is set as they'll have two games Saturday. The Bengals started off hosting Las Vegas. The night game Saturday, Buffalo at home against New England. Then Sunday, a tripleheader, Philadelphia at Tampa. The early game, late afternoon, 49ers and Cowboys in Dallas. Sunday night, Steelers. How they got in, it's amazing, but they're there. And they'll play at Kansas City. And then Monday night, it'll be Arizona and the L.A. Rams. College football tonight, the national championship on the line as Georgia takes on Alabama. Cavaliers will continue their road trip at Sacramento, 10 o'clock tip, right here and free on the iHeartRadio app. Cavs got knocked around by the Warriors last night, 96-82. And in college ball, Cleveland State defeated Youngstown State, 86-80 in overtime. Mike Snyder, WTAM Sports.
And you like Georgia tonight?
I do. I'm going to go with the Bulldogs to bounce back. They lost in the playoff or leading up to it, the conference championship. But Bama had to win that game. Georgia didn't. I think they bounce back
tonight. Get some rest tonight, or today, because Mike will be calling the game again tonight for Tim Alcorn, who's still in the protocol.
Yeah, so we'll have it. Hopefully they can bounce back tonight.
10 o'clock tip right here.
WTAM 1100. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for now. 5 good minutes.
Might touch on President Biden a bit. Bring in political analyst Steve Roberts. I'm reading the Mark Meadows book. My son Nate got it for me for Christmas. Former chief of staff, former congressman. Fascinating read about the taking over at the chief of staff job with the Trump administration, the Meadows book. Roberts with me, political analyst Steve Roberts here. I want to ask you about tomorrow's speech, but let's go back to January 6th first. And speaking of Trump, man, President Biden was even named him a couple of times on the anniversary of course, what happened at the Capitol.
Well, I think that speech, plus one he's going to give tomorrow, Bill, in Atlanta, on voting rights. Atlanta, of course, a very resonant place, home of Martin Luther King, the state that elected two Democratic senators to the surprise of just about everybody, that gave the Democrats control of the Senate. And also the state in many ways that Trump contested most vigorously. And he identified Georgia as the state that he thought had helped rig the election against him. And it was Republican election officials who stood up against him, the governor, Brian Kemp, the secretary of state, Raffensperger. So these two speeches together mark a change, a significant change, I think. Some of it is there's a legislative goal. There are two bills that Democrats have been pushing hard that would restrict the ability of states like Georgia and Ohio, for that matter, of passing bills that would limit voter access. But to do that, they need the support of all 50 Democrats to change the filibuster rules. And so far, they have not been able to do that. You've got at least two Democrats, maybe more, don't want to change the filibuster rules. So I think there is a legislative goal here, but I think the larger goal, Bill, is politics. Joe Biden needs a villain. For the last year, his numbers have slumped. Even among some Democrats have seen him as an increasingly weak and vacillating leader. And what's really going on here, Bill, is an attempt to re-energize the Democratic base to say it really is us against them. the same way that Donald Trump divided the electorate. But his gamble is there are more anti-Trumpers and pro-Trumpers. And his gamble is that if you can remind Democrats, okay, you might be unhappy with Biden's handling of Afghanistan. You might be unhappy with the spread of the Omicron virus. You might be unhappy with inflation. But Joe Biden's still a heck of a lot better than the alternative. Trump is out there. He's fixing to run again. He's trying to steal the next election. And Democrats have to see what the real issue here is. So this is, it's really basically, Bill, a political strategy to re-energize the Democrats and focus on Trump as the villain.
Yeah, look at the calendar. You got midterms coming up. A lot of these races will be close, maybe with these primaries, months to come. And it's money. It's raising money. I mean, Speaker Pelosi is going to be out there on the campaign trail. They, in theory, they think they're going to lose the House, but by question of how many seats and all, you got to follow all that, right?
Well, that's part of it. Raising money is part of it. Encouraging Democrats to run for these empty seats in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania, where you have retiring Republican senators.
Right, right.
But also, it's the sense that Biden has to me, even to many Democrats, has appeared to be kind of too weak and too accommodating and not forceful enough. And if you listen to the speech he gave last week and watch it again tomorrow, the rhetoric is going to be very different. And I think in many ways, he's trying to goad Donald Trump. You know, when he used word over and over again, Trump's a loser. Look, there's not a single word in the English language you can use that would infuriate Donald Trump more than the word loser. He wants Trump out there. He wants Trump visible. He wants Trump campaigning because that's the way he refocuses Democrats on the question of, okay, you might not love Biden. He's made some mistakes, but look at the alternative. Look at the threat. And that's why, and in some ways, a tip-off here, Bill, was Trump, who originally was going to hold a news conference on January 6th, hours after Biden's speech, decided not to. That's one of the tip-offs of what the Democratic strategy has been, and Trump understood it, and so he ducked a little bit. Of all things, Trump actually did not seek the spotlight that day because he knew what the Democratic strategy was. He knows what it is going forward.
Good takeaways. Good stuff. Political analyst Steve Roberts. We'll see what plays out in the speech tomorrow. Steve, thanks much.
Okay, my friend.
Hey, check out the Wills and Snyder podcast today, iHeartRadio app. Great take from Josh Cribbs on the Browns. Plus, we caught up with Barry Gable at Live Nation. All the info on the Hotel California tour and Barry's take on all these different artists, Springsteen, others, selling their catalog. Interesting stuff. Wills and Snyder podcast, iHeartRadio app. Check it out. Thanks for being here. Back in the morning. Have a good day.
We entered 2022, the year of the tiger.
Tap in to your inner.